Hey, it's Big Joe for your trusted local independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer, Absolute Comfort. Chris Wedekin is the owner, and he tells us why many homeowners are giving up their air conditioners for a high-efficiency heat pump.
By removing your air conditioner and replacing it with a heat pump, you are not only saving by getting a higher-efficiency air conditioner, the heat pump works in reverse and saves you money in the wintertime as well.
See if a heat pump is the right move for you by going to AbsoluteComfort.org. Absolute Comfort is your trusted local independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer.
Israel is not getting their ammunition right now. The United States has put a halt on that because the U.S. is trying to push Israel into not going into Rafah. That doesn't seem to be the case. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. They are continuing that offensive. Truce talks have broken down once again. It's possible that they will come back. Israel willing to do near anything to get these hostages back. The hostages that, of course, college campuses don't seem to care about. But they are not going to stop until Hamas is gone. And nothing can get them to stop. They have now closed the Al Jazeera offices in Israel, though they still have offices available in the West Bank, which seems awkward to me, but neither here nor there. A couple things to note. Israel is not the United States. They don't see free speech the way we do. I am critical of that. See that? That's discussing policy. But they are at war. Al Jazeera certainly plays for the other side, and they're not going to allow what they see as propaganda on their soil. We wouldn't allow propaganda on our soil either. But when you say to me, this is so un-American, we would never do that here. I remember when I wanted to talk about a laptop that a guy by the name of Hunter Biden left at a repair facility, and I was told by Twitter, you're not allowed to do that. So for those on the high horse, you got to get down slowly. Don't want to fall and break an ankle. That would be terrible. That is the latest there. And 1.6 million people showed up to see Madonna in concert in Rio. 1.6 million people showed up to see Madonna. All right, it was free. But dear Lord, it was on Copacabana Beach, Rio de Janeiro. Insane. It's crazy. The crowds are nuts. In 1987, according to TMZ, that was her largest show ever. 130,000 people showed up. Paris, 1987. Now 1.6 million. Just proving age is just a number, and people will do anything if it's free. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
In the month of May, one takes a look at the economics that are the Indianapolis 500 and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. That's right, the month of May.
It's gonna be May.
It's gonna be May.
It's gonna be May.
It's gonna be May.
Gary Dick joins us from InsideIndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB, InsideIndianaBusiness.com. We take a look first at ticket sales for the 500. You also have the Grand Prix. That is taking place on May 11th. Talk to me about what it is you're hearing about tickets for the 500.
Hearing the tickets are up again this year, Tony. You know, last year, ticket sales were the best they'd been in a long, long time, perhaps ever, with the exception of the 100th running in 2016. Doug Bowles told me on the show this weekend that ticket sales are trending up about 15,000 as of this point, which is a good sign, obviously. And as you mentioned, the month of May, not just the pinnacle, the race itself, but the Grand Prix this Saturday, this weekend, the last weekend, obviously, the many. So the month of May has kicked off and things are looking up. And it's not because because I think in part the attraction of the race, the attraction of the cars, the talent on the track, but also what's been a pretty aggressive a marketing push by the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and officials there for the last number of years, reaching out around the state of Indiana to really grow the event. And I think it's paying off.
You talk about going around the state, which is, I think, unbelievably smart. I've argued this not you know, aggressively, just I think that the Pacers should play one or two games in Fort Wayne or in Gary or in Evansville. If you're the Indiana Pacers, go be a part of Indiana. Doug Bowles and this team have brought the road show to Fort Wayne, to Bloomington and other places to try and move ticket sales, and they seem to be having a positive result.
They really have. And I should mention the Pacers in the past have done that on occasion with exhibition games in some of those markets, to your point, Tony. But as you mentioned, and when you look at Doug Bowles, the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, he is he's a tireless promoter. He is out there on the road, literally, on a weekly basis. They held these fan fests, they're calling them, in Fort Wayne. They had one here in Indianapolis at Bottle Works. They had one in Fort Wayne. They had one in Bloomington and another in Evansville as well, to really gin up support for the month of May, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the Indy 500. And it is working. It's really a grassroots effort, if you will, to drive fan interest. And again, the numbers would suggest that it's paying off.
Talking to Gary Dick from InsideIndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB. The financial impact, right? We certainly know what happens to Speedway, and we know that it extends out. The vast majority of that money is the month of May, or has the Speedway been able to build a more year-round financial opportunity for the state and for the rest of us?
No question, Tony. The bulk is the month of May. The study was released just last year, pegged that economic impact for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway at just over $1 billion on an annual basis. More than half of that comes during the month of May. So that is the mother load, if you will, in terms of the economic impact. But very importantly, the business of motorsports, when you look at the teams, you look at the suppliers, the vendors, the dirt tracks that predominate in small towns around the state of Indiana and have for a number of years. The impact of the industry, of the motorsports industry, is truly felt around the state of Indiana. That's a good thing for the economy. And you look at the investment. I asked Doug Bowles about this. What's the state of motorsports? Very competitive industry, obviously. It's an entertainment business in many respects, and that's very competitive, to be sure. He thinks it's in as good a shape as it's ever been. And if you look at the investment being made here locally by race teams, Ray Hall, Andretti with a major facility going up in Fishers as well. So that investment is driving the sport, also helping to drive the Indiana economy.
Let's move this a little bit to one of the stories you have over there at IIB, InsideIndianaBusiness.com. We discussed this last week, that the Indiana Economic Development Corporation wants to sell 51 acres at the former GM stamping plant site. This is Indianapolis. The on again, off again, what's going on with this facility, what's going on with this land continues. What is this latest push? What are they trying to get done?
Well, the IEDC continues to look at opportunities to buy property, some smaller, maybe some larger tracks. You look at the LEAP Innovation District in Fort Wayne or in Boone County as a really good example of buying up property and then offering the property and the ability to develop to potential interests, to potential companies looking to drive, looking to locate their business. And that's what this is part of, I think, you know, part of a continuing effort to drive investment in the state of Indiana. The numbers from the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, from the IEDC, from the first quarter set a record. And talked to David Rosenberg, Secretary of Commerce, just last week. He indicates more to come this year, that the pipeline indeed is full. So I think we're going to see efforts to get, property like the old GM stamping plant filled up with new investment.
The other story involves what in the world happened between the Keystone Group, Ersal Ozdemir, the owner of the Indy 11, and the city of Indianapolis regarding a Major League Soccer team. You've covered this city longer than me. You know the players better than I do. If you've got some kind of inside knowledge, I'll take it. But I start with the first question. Have you ever seen anything like this?
Probably not. I mean, you usually by this time in a story's life, things begin to come out. And Mickey Shuey from the IBJ had a really nice piece, I think, in the IBJ this weekend on how things broke down between Keystone Group or Ersal Ozdemir, the owner, and his efforts to develop Indy 11 Park and the city, how they broke down. And it's a tale of two stories, if you will. Keystone Group or Ersal Ozdemir said, hey, we had the funds, the funding, we had the plan in place with local ownership to make this happen. The city didn't believe that it could make it happen. And apparently at some point late in the negotiations or the talks, the demand was made by the city for Ozdemir to guarantee an MLS team, which he certainly can't do at this point. So a lot of questions remain. I ran into you and I talked about this at Rev over the weekend, and not a lot coming out on this story. But again, as time goes on, I think we'll begin to hear a little bit more.
Yeah, the timeline that Mickey Shuey put together at IBJ is absolutely excellent. And if you want to kind of get a real understanding of how things have progressed until this point, definitely read that. But really, this is more about where Hogsett is going and whether there's any support for it. This move is odd. This go-it-alone thing is odd. And we can put our personal feelings to it, but I'm trying to avoid that. Are you hearing that the mayor has support for this move? Does the city county council, are they with him on this?
It's a great question. And, you know, there are indications. You don't see a lot of public folks coming out in public supporting it necessarily. Does that mean that there's not support there? Not necessarily, no. But there's not a folks taking a leadership position, if you will, for this. And you wonder if the mayor and his team had met with the MLS commissioner, were there promises made, were there things that were said in that meeting that prompted the mayor to believe that an MLS team is imminent for Indianapolis? I don't know. All questions, certainly at this point. And a lot of folks scratching their heads, I guess, is a good way to put it.
All right. That's a good way to put it. But that's not... I think personally, this is me. This is not you saying it, Gary Dick. I leave you over there. Not necessarily the way I think people want to see the city or have the city seen. Scratching their head. I mean, I think that's accurate. I think that's actually a solid way to put it. But now we got to ask ourselves what that means for the city. And that's what I'm most curious about. We'll discuss that another time. Gary Dick, InsideIndianaBusiness.com, on X at IIB.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news, Tony Katz. 93 WIBC, good morning. You have got Dow futures up 146. You have NASDAQ futures up 65. You have oil prices that are up, but they've been down. Like, so it's not a fair analysis to just say that they're up, because West Texas is at $78 a barrel. It's been over 80. And Brent crude is at 83. It's been at 86, 87. But is it heading up because of the possibility of Israel saying, we're going into Rafah no matter what, and if the United States wants to hold up ammunition delivery, they're more than welcome to. We're doing this. That could be having an effect. The 10-year Treasury coming down a little bit to 4.47. The 30-year fixed mortgage is based on this. If I look at the five-day, we saw ourselves around 4.7 range, and now see ourselves at 4.47, 30-year fixed, the average 7.35%, which is really 7.5. Let's not kid ourselves. Interesting story from CNBC about how U.S. automakers, specifically General Motors, no longer selling in China because China's making their own vehicles. China is selling their own. They're like, we don't need these American things anymore. GM lost $106 million during the first quarter in China. It's the third quarterly loss in 15 years. Let's say that again. Only three times in the last 15 years has General Motors had a loss in China. China has been a very, very good market for them. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever. So now that they've stolen all your technology, they have no need for you. That's how China works and operates. Now, we could learn something from that. We don't need China at all. We can make our own t-shirts and crappy goods on Amazon. But we don't need to steal from them. What we need to do is charge them for the theft. See, if we charge them for the theft, well, then it's not stealing. You know, they bought it fair and square or something like that. But since they steal and didn't negotiate a price, we'll just set the price. And we'll start by taking it out of the debt we owe them. Just take it out of the debt. Don't pay them back. They steal. Don't pay them. If you feel a need that you have to write the check, let's pay off nursing student debt. We need more nurses anyway. And no matter what the left says, they work through COVID. They're not the enemy. So let's just pay off their debt. I mean, if we're going to pay off a debt, you can pay off the communist Chinese who steal from us and gave us COVID. Or you can pay off the nursing debt and we can then maybe inspire some more nurses. I mean, if we're going to pay off debt, I would do nursing debt before doing student loan debt. Your degree in puppetry or in gender studies doesn't save anybody. Never will save anybody. That's right. I rank the things. Nurses are way more important. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
That's life.
That's life.
Former presidential candidate and North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, who was at Mar-a-Lago this weekend and is on everyone's short list for the president's vice president, to be vice president or running mate, joins us now. Governor, your reaction to the ways in which the Democrats are handling these protests on these campuses? They're all over the place.
Well, they are, and I think it's just a great contrast between President Trump, who's leading with strength, and Joe Biden, who's his weakness. I mean, we talk about the campus protests, but these protests wouldn't be happening if Joe Biden hadn't invited these wars that are happening all over the world because of his weakness.
So Doug Burgum is the governor of North Dakota and is on allegedly President Trump's shortlist for vice president. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. I thought Burgum handled himself well in the presidential run. I thought he handled himself well in the debates. Certainly the idea of momentum was, well, it didn't materialize for people who were supposedly the next in line, like Ron DeSantis. It wasn't going to develop for Doug Burgum. But you liked him. You absolutely, positively liked him. And the idea that he's on a short list, I'm absolutely willing to buy this. But the other people on the short list, not Kristi Noem, be clear, Kristi Noem is out. And she can try and make sense of, well, the reason I killed my dog is, if you are in politics, I only know a couple things, guys. And if you're in politics and you have to explain, well, you see, the reason I killed my dog. Yeah, you're never getting elected to anything ever again. Just telling you what is, there is no coming back from, well, you see, the reason I killed my dog.
That is so fetch.
Gretchen, stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
No. No, it's not. It just isn't. So she's not on the short list, but Tim Scott is. And there were a series of stories. I think I've got the audio somewhere. Look at how Tim Scott is embarrassing himself. Tim Scott, he's just auditioning to be vice president. Yeah. Right? Everyone is. The only person who isn't looking to be vice president is Ron DeSantis, because he does not need that job at all. At all. He doesn't need it. He's better off where he is. But what is this idea that somehow it's strange that people are auditioning for the job? And look at what Tim Scott's doing. He's embarrassing himself. Kamala Harris called Joe Biden a segregationist. And she's the vice president today. And all of a sudden, it's Tim Scott that's the problem. Their issue is they can't believe we see them. We see you. We have the record. We know what's happening. We know what happened. Why do you keep doing this to us? Why do you keep trying to convince us somehow that you're not exactly the same way? Of course you are. I think you're worse because you're claiming you're not. We see you. And we're fully aware of what Kamala Harris said about Joe Biden. Is Tim Scott auditioning? Sure he is. Everybody is. Without question. The only person on the short list who isn't going to be there, as I said, Ron DeSantis already know, is Marco Rubio, because you're not picking anybody from Florida. Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution is rather clear that if you have two people from the same state, those electors will not be viable. So you can, by law, have a president and vice president from the same state, but their electoral votes from that state don't count. That's what it says. So if you are willing to give up the electoral votes from Florida, put them at risk because you want to have Marco Rubio as your vice presidential nominee, you're more than welcome to do so. But that's 30 electoral votes. It was only 29 in 2020, but people moved to Florida because who in the bloody heck would still want to live in New York or California? So now it's 30. You don't risk that. It's not Marco Rubio. It's not DeSantis. It's not Marco Rubio. I'm just laying down my gauntlet there. My marker isn't a marker. It's a gauntlet. It is something that is a marker or a gauntlet. I don't know who the man is going to pick, but this whole idea of Tim Scott is just auditioning, and it's so disgusting. Called Joe Biden a segregationist. Vice president today. It's just ridiculous in the concept. Meanwhile, Speaker Johnson, he's getting some support from Senator Tom Cotton.
Well, first off, I want to say I think Speaker Johnson is doing an outstanding job. I agree with President Trump on that. I agree that we need to have unity in our party right now as we face off against Joe Biden and the Democrats. And the legislation that the House passed and that we passed after the House was not just about Ukraine. It was also supporting Israel and supporting Taiwan, taking actions like making sure TikTok has to, or TikTok's parent company has to divest, new sanctions on Russia, the ability to take Russian assets to support the Ukraine war effort in the future. So it was a vital piece of national security legislation. The large majority of Republicans supported it, and I think you're going to see the large majority of Republicans back Speaker Johnson next week as well.
But actually, in the House, a majority of Republicans voted against it. And
well, about two-thirds of House Republicans said they wanted to support Ukraine in one way or another, even if they didn't support that specific piece of legislation. It was a much smaller majority that voted to cut off aid entirely. So Speaker Johnson has about two-thirds of his entire conference behind him on that specific issue.
It is a very, very vocal support for the speaker. And I have to wonder whether this is purposeful. So he was on, this is Senator Tom Cotton on ABC's This Week. Was this purposeful to try and stop Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massey from moving forward on a motion to vacate and remove Speaker Mike Johnson? This doesn't seem to be, hey, I like the guy. This seems to be a proactive move by the party to get her to stop. Find out this week if I'm right.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.